Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Everyone doing all right? Okay. Hey, don't sit down just yet. Why don't we take a minute and give God some praise for the pastors that he has called into your life. Come on. Let's thank Jesus for calling Pastor Jesse, Pastor Angela. You guys have a good year in Omaha. And four people on this side and six over there agree with me. Come on, everybody in the room, let's show some love and some honor. Honestly, you guys are heroes. You're heroes. We're so proud of you, and fun to watch everything that's happening from afar. And fun to feel the encouragement and get a call from Jesse. He's like, I don't know, man. Like, we started these crews. There's only like 400 people in them. What do you think? Is that going okay? And I'm like, bro, it's like, you haven't started your church yet and 400 people are showing up. He's like, yeah, we had this like heart and soul night. I don't know. We filled the venue, and it's like they had to call the fire department because we overfilled the room. Do you think that's okay? But honestly, man, I'm so encouraged by what God's doing here, and being able to see it with my own eyes, it's truly special. This is like the Book of Acts kind of stuff. God adding to your numbers daily. This is amazing, and so don't miss that. Like don't let a moment pass you by, don't let a season pass you by, and then be like, oh, what was I doing? Like I was in there. And don't look at yourself in the pictures of this, which will be like your once upon a times, and be like, oh, that was me. Why wasn't I more engaged? Why was I just watching? I'm telling you, there are so many opportunities for you to be involved right now. And for some of you, even you're like, yeah, I'm pretty involved. Like, seriously, give your life to this. This will be the greatest thing. These are like the early days. There's someone here, you're here for the first time. You're like, oh, everyone else knows each other. I'm new. Guess what? In a couple years, you're going to say, I've been there since the beginning. I mean, a couple months. But yeah, the beginning. Okay, like it's not too late. It's not like everyone else got in on it and you're kind of now an observer. You're part of this. God's called you to be part of this. And I just want to encourage you, if you would, man, give yourself to this. Pour into the, jump in with both feet and just watch what God's going to do. But, you know, you really have it real good. Bless your pastors. Be encouraging to them. Okay, give them, that's like the word encouragement means to give someone courage. That's the greatest compliment a leader has ever given to me. A pastor that I served on his team. He said, Justin, man, when you're around, I feel like I can do this. I feel like I can do this. May that be the way that Pastor Angela and Pastor Jesse describe you. Oh, when that person's in the room, I feel like we got this. Be an encouragement. Encouragement is not flattery, okay? Encouragement is not like pumping tires. Encouragement is that heart and soul thing. Like, man, I'm in. Whatever you need, we got this. We can do this. Do you believe that? Come on, before we even sit down, why don't we just pray? Jesus, we love you. We're grateful for you. It's kind of you that you'd include us in your plan. You really didn't need to. You could have come up with a different way to just reveal yourself to mankind, and we could have sat back and watched. And yet here you are, including us, the broken, the least, the last, the lost, that you've included in your beautiful plan and design. We thank you for the pastors in this house. We thank you for the leaders in this house. I pray for encouragement to fuel everything we put our hands to. I thank you for this $150,000 pledge. I ask that it would be just like a little drop in the bucket compared to what you're going to do in opening up generosity, that the blessings of God would not just be known to us, but through us today, we pray. I just stretch some people today, God. I'm not talking about giving, but would you talk to someone's heart, someone who was patting themselves on the back for committing a certain number? I pray that you'd stretch their thinking, that if they'd be willing, you would provide. I pray, God, for a person who's kind of observing today, that today would be their day of engagement. In your name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, you happy tonight? Awesome. Awesome. For those of us, you can grab your seat. For those of us who haven't met, my name is Justin Reimer. And as Pastor Jesse said, my wife and I, we pastor a church in Vancouver called Vivid Church. If you've ever been to Vancouver, you know how beautiful it is. It's a beautiful city on the outside. On the inside, it's kind of a cold city. It's a little bit lonely. It's known as the loneliest city in North America. People, when asked how many friends have you made since high school, the most common answer is zero. Just zero. And so we're making friends in Vancouver. If you know anyone, send them our way. I mean, I'd say if you know anyone north of the border, just say, what are you doing in Winnipeg anyway? Get over to Vancouver. Come on, go live an adventure. Be part of something that matters, you know? But we love it. If you're ever coming through, I mean, it's a great place to plan a holiday. I hear there's lots of honeymoons that happen. It's like everywhere I look, someone's like, yeah, that person just got engaged. That person just got engaged. That person. Like, Vancouver's a great place to honeymoon. I'm just saying, you should come up and check it out. Hey, how many people were here at one of the morning gatherings today? Wave at me. Awesome. Hey, we had a good time this morning. And I just felt as I was preaching this morning to bring a different word tonight, a different message. And so, you know, with the amount of time that I have tonight, I'm gonna probably give you quite a bit that you could write down, okay? And I'm just gonna believe, and I'm gonna believe that there's gonna be something in this message that's gonna speak to every heart. I'm gonna believe that for each of us, it's either gonna be that right now moment where like, whoa, God totally just right there, you know, right exactly what I needed right now, or it's gonna be like a microwave message for someone. You know, microwave message? Where you're like, oh, that's good. I'm just going to pack that away. It's like leftovers. Put that in the fridge because the day's going to come. I'm going to need to reheat that. I'm going to need to reheat that and just, you know, be nourished by that. So it's going to be one of the two things tonight. But I really do think there's some thoughts to chew on tonight. Okay, in regards to the will of God. The will of God. I grew up going to church, and I can't tell you how many times as a young person I found myself somewhere kind of in the front in here praying and crying. Like crying like the ugly tears, you know? You know everyone's got like a nice-looking cry and then an ugly cry? Nice-looking cry, it's like a touching, like a sporting moment. You're like, oh, yeah, Nick Foles. Yeah, honestly, for me, whenever the Patriots lose, I shed a happy tear. I shed just a happy, I mean, like anybody but the Patriots, it's just a beautiful thing. And you know, you got that kind of like, it's an okay cry. Like, to be honest, it's an okay cry. If you're single in the room and someone you got your eye on sees you with that cry, you're like, that's good. They caught me. And they know I got a softer side. And then we all have the ugly cry. We all have the cry where it's like, I'm not sure what fluid is coming out of what part, but it's not. There's tears, you know. I prayed the prayers with the ugly tears. Like, God, just what's your will for my life? Ever prayed a prayer like that? And it's just like, man, the louder you pray it, it's like it bounces off the ceiling. Like, God, tell me what it is, and I'll do it. And the camp service ends, and you head back to your cabin. You're like, I don't know. I don't know. Felt like everyone else, you know, I guess it must be called to Africa. I don't know. You're like, God, tell me what it is, and I'll do it. And with sincerity and with passion, I prayed that prayer, and I kind of came to the conclusion, perhaps God just didn't want me to know what his will is. Anyone else ever had that conclusion? It's like God is playing a game of heavenly charades with us. It's like three words. First word, I don't know. Guessing. I concluded perhaps God just didn't want me to know what his will was. Prayed lots of prayers when I was like 14, and just felt like there should have been like a lightning bolt moment, right? But then I turned 15. And then, see, you know what I'm saying? Anyone, just relate to anyone. Like, God, what do you have for me to do? Usually when it comes to his will, we're thinking, really, who should I marry? Where should I live? And what should my career be? That's really what we summate God's will with, as if, right, our destination was our destiny. Like, what should my zip code be? God, tell me, and I'll go there. And then as soon as we have those things sorted, and some of you in the room, you got those three things sorted. So you're like, oh, I know God's will. It was her, right? And we bought a house, and I got a good job. I'm living in God's will. I want to dare to believe that God's will is bigger than that. Are you with me? That it's not just about a physical destination. It's not just a longitude and a latitude. Like, here's God's will for your life. But God's will for you and I is knowable. I really think it is. Well, I want to prove it to you. Open your Bible with me, the book of Colossians, okay? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. The Apostle Paul is writing, and his opening statement, he says, for this reason. What reason, you might ask? Good question. The reason of this, he said, you're known for your faith and your love. I want to say, like, my city church, you are known for your faith and your love. You are, like, believing for crazy things. To have a Vision Builders Gala in month 4, like, that's crazy faith. And that faith, it's not insulated in the city of Omaha. People know about it. Like anyone I told I was going to Omaha, they're like, oh, you're going to My City Church? Say hi to Jesse for me. This is known. You're known for your faith. And not only your faith, but your love for people. I'm telling you, this is not a church that loves programs. It's a church that loves people. You're known for it. Your faith and your love, they're renowned. They're known. And so Paul, speaking to the church in Colossae, a similar type of church, he goes, hey, we know about your faith. We know about your love. And now for this reason, he says, faith and love, since the day that we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God, check it out, to fill you with a knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. To fill you with a knowledge of his will. Okay, like, I don't know about for you, but the word fill and the word will has not always been my experience. To be full of a knowledge of the will of God. That is the picture of what God has for you. To be filled with a knowledge of what he has for you. To know it. Jesus, tonight, we want to be filled with the knowledge of your will for our lives. We pray that you do that. Name, amen. 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 Hey, this word fill, it comes from a Greek word. The Greek word is plerao. Plerao is like a word picture. And plerao, if you were to, you know, draw a picture, like a Pictionary version of plerao to give emphasis to what it means, one of the words that it means is to be crammed. To be crammed. God wants you to be crammed with a knowledge of his will. Crammed like I don't want to pay for a checked bag, so I will put everything I own in this small bag. That kind of crammed, okay? Like crammed like you got to call someone in to sit on the suitcase and then take a pair of pliers to get that zipper up. Crammed. Crammed like disregard the little sign that says if your bag can't fit in here, it's not really a carry-on bag. That kind of crammed, okay? God wants you to be crammed where you go, like, I just can't even fit anymore. I'm so, like, every part of my life is bursting with a knowledge of what God has for me. I wake up every morning bursting with a knowledge of God's will for my life. Cramped. Number two, second word that we're describing is to be satisfied. Satisfied. Now, we come from a lot of different backgrounds, right? Different cultures, different places, times, you know, slightly different eras. It would seem like we have a few generations represented here. I think one of the things that would bind us all together is that every one of us who has a grandparent who pushes food on us. Am I with? Doesn't matter the culture. It doesn't matter. Like, I grew up with a Ukrainian grandma. And I'm like, oh, it's just a Ukrainian thing. Then you meet Greek people, like, oh, no, that's a Greek thing. And then you meet Chinese people, like, that's a Chinese thing. No, it's a grandma thing. It's just a grandma thing. They're like, oh, you look hungry. You need more. They push more. I'm talking about the type of satisfied where you're like, honestly, grandma, like, I'm really good. I'm like, true, I cannot fit anymore. I got to push myself away from the table. I'm good. That's what God wants you to feel in regard to his will, where you're not left a little bit hungry. You're not left going like, man, I sure could use a clearer picture of it, but I guess this will have to do until the next time it's a Sunday and I get to go to church and hear a little bit more. He wants you to be satisfied where you're like, truly, God, I'm good. I'm good. I got enough to go on right there. For some of you, you're like, I have never even thought of knowing God's will in that type of an intimate way. That's impossible. Number three, that word plerao means to be furnished. I like that word, furnished, furnished. Like you buy a new house or you rent a new place and you come in, you're like, I don't know if this is big enough or too big. It's one of the two. And you're like sending pictures to a roommate or a spouse. You're like, what do you think this could do? And you're trying to picture things. But then when you get into that space and you start to unpack your own stuff and you put your things where you like them and your memorabilia and your artwork and all of a sudden you look around, you're like, oh, I could live here, right? Or you say this. This is no longer just a space or a house. This has become a home. God wants you to be at home in his will. Like where you're like, I could live here. You know, truthfully, I think one of the reasons why I prayed ugly tears or prayed prayers with ugly tears in regards to God's will was because I was convinced that what he was going to ask me would hurt. I was convinced that his will for me was somehow about me giving to him and not him giving to me. I was convinced that if I really, really got spiritual, he was going to wreck my life. But I loved him so much, right? I'm like, I love you enough that I'll be willing to have my life destroyed. The truth of the matter is, God, when you're living in his will, you look around, you're like, how did I score this? Like, honestly, God was giving out life plans to people, and somehow he gave me the only good one because I'm living the dream. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I wake up every morning. I look over at the wife of my youth. We've been together far over half of our lives, almost 20 years we've been a couple. We've been married for nearly 17, and she is right now carrying our seventh baby. And I look over, I'm like, man, I am living the dream. I don't know how this happened. How did it happen? We're living in a beautiful city. We got close to be seven great kids, healthy. We're loving life. How is this possible? God's will fits you. God's will, it feels like you're at home. For some of you, you're living right in the middle of God's will, but convinced it just can't be this good. Friend, it's better than you thought. His will for you is beyond your wildest dreams. It's above your biggest expectation. So here Paul says this, I want you to get full of the knowledge of God's will for your life. Like, get full of it. In the meantime, we live in a tension. Our tension is not between, like, victory and defeat, because the Bible says that he's victorious, so we're victorious, okay? For Christians, that's not our tension. Our tension is not between good and evil, as if God and the devil, you know, it's this tug of war. Our tension is only this. Our only tension is we live in a tension between the past and the future. That's it. Like, this moment right now that we shared, that moment transitioned from future to past. It's gone now. And we live in this moment. And we have a propensity, I think, to look backwards and think of the good old days as, oh, man, there, like, those were the good days. You know, back when I was fired up for God. Back when I was, you know, I was sharing my faith. But that's when I was 17. And now I'm 19. Right? We laugh, right? Because that would be funny, right? Everyone's like, no. You think that when you're 19. But some of you are doing it because you're 40. Like, oh, back when I had more energy. And some of you are doing it because at what age would it be appropriate to laugh at that concept, right? Like, how what age would we ever be like, oh, the past, the good old days? It's a weird way to think that our past would be the good old days. For some of us, we look backwards, oh, my mistakes, my failures, and we have this draw to the past. And then others of us, we're locked in a futuristic mindset. It's all about where we're, you know, one day we're going to get there. Until then, I don't know, it's just going to be a struggle. But one day I'm going to land where I want to be. But we're stuck in this tension, right? This what about now tension. In that tension, I think there's different types of people. There's some people in this what about now moment, the living in the tension between past and future. There's some people who are terrified that they're going to misstep. They're scared. Like, at every moment, I'm sure God's will for me is like a tightrope, and I know there's no net. If I make a mistake, I'm going to die. And so there I am trying to make sure that I, you know, the whole kingdom of God is resting on my shoulders. And every decision I make, you know, I better stay on the straight and narrow. And here I am trying to, like, figure out God's will. And generally speaking, this group of people is just terrified all the time. Scared all the time. They might have missed it. Like, man, I'm not yet enjoying my future. Maybe if I replayed my past, I could figure out what I did wrong. Where did I misstep? As if God's will is so regimented that you can miss it. God's will is more like a football field. He goes, I'll block for you. You know where the end zone is? Come on. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not a tightrope. He's like, hey, I'm passing you the ball. That's your destiny. Let's do this. I got you. I'll throw some blocks. We'll get there. That's the will of God. The people who live in that type of mentality, they're like the people when their plane is delayed. They're just sitting there looking like, cancel? Did you? Yeah. The flight's canceled. Still canceled. Right? That person just mystified that life's not going the way they want it to go. Then there's this group of people, I call them like the fake it till you make it group. They've never made a decision that they didn't know exactly what was going to happen, right? Right? They're like, hey, I just feel like God's speaking to me about us. You know, it's a God thing. I think we'd make a great couple. Then a couple weeks later, like, you know, I was just praying, and it's not you. And it's not even me, it's God, you know? It's just not working out. Right? This person, like, oh, man, yeah, I got a job. I know, I named it, I claimed it, God gave it to me. And then 2 weeks later, you're like, how's work? You're like, oh, I quit. Wasn't my job. That is not what God has for me. I'm not the tail, I'm the head. He's taking me to new places. Like, they've never walked through anything that they weren't prepared for. They're always like, oh, yeah, it's better this way anyway. And you're like, come on, man. That group of people, when their plane is delayed, they just budge to the front of the line. You know what I'm talking about? They're like, hey, I'm on the phone with customer service right now. Would you like to talk to them? I always think like, do you actually think the person behind the counter wants to talk to one of their coworkers right now? Like, yeah, you're right. And you know they're just like, yeah, this person's an idiot. Just get rid of them. That type of person, they're like, come on, we're going to make something happen. I looked, I saw there's like a connecting flight to Toledo, and if I do that and then I get on a hot air balloon, I can make it happen. They're like, I'm going to force this thing to happen. I'll fake it till I make it, and hopefully I'll stumble into God's will. Then there's the group of people that they're just like, I'm good. God says to wait on the Lord. I got that down. I got my remote. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm chilling. When God wants to wake me up, I'm sure he'll do that. If not, I'll hit snooze a couple times. I'll get there. They're like, I'm waiting. Waiting doesn't mean lazy, okay? Waiting actually means to lean in with a hopeful expectation. To wait on the Lord is to be like, ooh, this could be the moment. This could be the, you know what I mean? But this group of people, this third group, they're the ones in the airport who are like sleeping against the wall, charging their phone. Why is it that all social norms go out the window in an airport? It's like you got like the barefoot guy. You're like, are you serious? Are you clipping your toenails? Like, what are you doing right now? They're charging their phone. They're just like, how did you find the ugliest possible combination of clothing you could ever wear and purposely spill chili on it to then get on this plane? And they're just like, I'm good. I'm just waiting on the Lord, you know? But I think sometimes that's the way we live our Christian walk. We're like, I don't know. I have no idea what God wants for me. But until then, I'll just be chilling over here. I don't think that's what God is looking for. He's looking for us to, he says this, like, make the most of every moment. The what about now? Like, to own this moment that you're living in. This precious, beautiful moment that just went from future to past. I'm going to ask people on this side of this room, if you would, could you represent for us our past tonight? Someone like, really, the past? You don't know what kind of hairstyle I had in the past. I kind of wanted to forget the past. Aren't you grateful that things change? Come on, aren't you grateful? I always think the worst style ever is 10 years ago. Doesn't matter what year it is, 10 years ago, the worst style ever, right? Some of you 10 years ago, you had like a punk rock goatee with no mustache. I did. And then it turned into a soul patch, right? I want you to represent for us our past. And when we look to our past, I really think there only ought to be one word that we describe it with. Okay? Not failure and not good old days. Not what was I thinking. I really think the only word we ought to use to describe our past is grateful. Grateful. Whatever your story is, you got to be grateful that it's part of your past. Man, look, the greatest story of victory, what a foundation it is for your future. Aren't you grateful that's part of your past? The most tragic, heartbreaking story, aren't you grateful you made it through? Aren't you grateful that that's not your present anymore? You're living in a new day. And so if you would, those of you on this side of the room representing our past, can you just say grateful on three? Ready? One, two, three.
Grateful.
Not bad. We'll get a little bit better than that before we're done. Grateful. When you look at your past, I think you ought to just take a little glance over the shoulder and say, whew, I'm so grateful. Come on, one more time. One, two, three.
Grateful.
Grateful. Here's why. Book of Colossians chapter 1 in verse 12, a couple verses down, it says this. Speaking of our past, it says, we're giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He's brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness. If you're in Christ, this is a great story. In Christ, what a good statement, eh? In Christ, there I used it, the Canadian, eh? Do you know why we do that? Do you know why we do that? We just love unity, honestly. That is a Canadian thing, we love unity. If you disagree, I'll change, right? I'm like, isn't that awesome, eh? And I wanna hear you be like, yeah, that is awesome. It's like, oh, beautiful day out, eh? Oh, not their favorite, oh, really? Yeah, you're right, it's not that great. We love unity. We love unity. You love you. America's like, what? It's a beautiful day. You don't like it? I'll beat you. And you're like, ah. Just a little bit of a cultural lesson there. But when we look at our past, it says this. God has qualified you. If you're taking notes, write that word down. He's qualified you. That means you are chosen. That means you are validated. That means you don't have to seek validation from any other place because God of heaven has already validated you. When we moved to Los Angeles from Vancouver, a few years back. We lived there a couple years. We got there. One of the most shocking things was parking. Like, you're trying to find parking. You're like, what? Why is there 19 signs defining this parking spot? That Tuesdays between 7 and 8, don't be here because street sweeping. And Wednesdays from 2 to 4. And it's all these rules around parking. And then there's this beautiful sign that says, free with validation. You're in Omaha. You're like, we just park wherever we want. We just put it in park and walk away from it. Come back to it. It says free with validation. You got to go buy something, but then you get free parking. I tell you, I bought some things I didn't even want to get free parking, Pastor Jesse. I'd be like, yeah, what do you guys sell? I just want the free parking. You know, gum, I'll buy a pack of gum. Hey, can I get validated? I wonder if there's people in this room who are purchasing something in life they don't even want just to receive validation. If there's somebody here, it's like, I just want to be validated. I will give you whatever it takes to receive a stamp of approval. Meanwhile, if you are in Christ, God's already validated you. In Christ, what a beautiful statement. Paul used it 165 times to describe people who had relationship with Jesus. You are in Christ. So he said, number one, you've been qualified. That's one of the reasons I'm grateful. When I look to my past, I'm grateful. Are you? Come on, past on three. Ready? One, two, three.
Grateful.
Okay, from now on, I'm not even going to count. I'm just going to call to you and you're going to say it, okay? So number one, I've been qualified. Number two, not only have I been qualified, but I've been rescued. And that's a good thing. Imagine with me God calling from heaven, hey, just so you know, I like you. You're in a lot of trouble. It doesn't look very good for you right there, but I like you. Man, God didn't just call from a distance. He rolled up his sleeve and got into the muck and the mire of humanity. He didn't sneak in at a covert operation by night. It was a full frontal assault. He came into the world, lived a perfect, sinless life, conquered death in the grave. He looked at death. He's like, that's all you got? Where's your sting? So that we could live. And so he rescued us. He rescued us. Not only did he rescue us, but he redeemed us. That means it's not like he just took out all the guards and left us in our cage and said, okay, you got it from here. Get yourself out of this situation. He actually, the Bible says, he reaches down to redeem our life from the pit. I have been qualified. I have been rescued. I have been redeemed. One of the biggest lies ever told, God helps those who help themselves. Sounds good. Makes a good bumper sticker or something like that. But the truth of the matter is, God helps those who are hopelessly lost. He gives hope to the needy. He reaches down to make us great. That's why when I look to my past, I am
grateful.
Me and Jesse are grateful. Come on, when I look to my past, I am
grateful.
It's better. Not only has he qualified, rescued, and redeemed me, but also the Bible here says he's forgiven me. You're like, isn't that obvious, qualified, rescued, redeemed? Isn't the forgiveness part obvious? I don't think so. It's possible that he could save us and then be like, ha, look what you did. Imagine how scary that would be if God was like, look what you did to my boy, Jesus. But you know what the Bible says? It says he takes our sin, removes it as far as the east is from the west. One verse implies that he drops it into a sea of forgetfulness. Like there's some of us, we are rehearsing to God our past. We're like, oh God, I'm just thinking again about the mistakes I made in junior high. What was I thinking? What was I doing? I just hurt Jesus so bad. I offended him with my attitude. And God's like, sorry, I don't remember what you're talking about. I've actually, like, the only thing when I look at you that I think about is how much I love Jesus and how much he's forgiving. Man, I just love you. What are you talking? No, you're like, okay, God, let me remind you. I did this. I thought this. Why are we rehearsing something that God has forgotten? God, all-knowing God, has made a distinct choice on our behalf when it comes to our past. He's like, I'm just going to forget the sin that is associated with you. You're forgiven. Come on, aren't you grateful? Come on, when I look at my past, I am
grateful.
Come on, when I look to my past, I am
grateful.
Now, what about the future? Some of you are excited about the future. On this side of the room, you're representing our future. Some of us are excited about the future. Some of us are just straight terrified. You're like, I like my life just as it is now. If I were to ask you the question, you want your life to be better, worse, or the same, you'd be like, I'll take the same because change terrifies me. Change surprises terrify me. I don't want any surprises, right? I just want to stay the same. But you're going to represent for us our future. You're going to represent for us what we have to look forward to. When we look backwards, we are. But when we look forward, there's really only one word to use. It's not anxious. It's not concerned. It's not pumped. As if getting pumped was all we ever needed to get through something. How easy would that be? Just find some people, get pumped. But when I look forward, I'm hopeful. I'm telling you, because of who Jesus is, I'm hopeful. Can you say hopeful on three? Ready? One, two, three. I can tell you learned from your past. We all do, don't we? We all do. But also I believe that the future ought to be better than the past. So let's try that one more time. When I look forward, I am. When I look backwards, I am. When I look forwards, I am. Okay, hopeful. You're going to have to get better than that, all right? The future is greater. The best is yet to come. Here we go. When I look forward, I am. Here's why. Check it out. Go down to Colossians 1:27. 1:27, it says this: to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. Here it is: Christ in you is the hope of glory. I read that, I'm like, oh, Paul, awesome thought. You just made a little typo there. You mean us in Christ, right? Because you've said that 165 other times, that we're in Christ. He's like, no, I mean Christ, the one that you are in is in you. How could we be anything but hopeful when Christ, the supreme one, is in us? When Christ is in us. Okay, somebody's not getting excited enough in church. Christ is in us. Meaning, like, he is the resurrection and the life. Meaning he doesn't just bring life to things. He is life personified. He is hope personified, and Christ is in us. How can we be anything but hopeful? How could it possibly be anything else but hopeful? In the verses in between, someone's like, I don't want to get too theological on you, but you jump from verse 1 and then a couple little things and then skip to verse 27. What happened in the middle there? In the middle there, it talked all about the supremacy of Christ, that he's above all things, that there's no one above him, there's no one beside him, that he alone is supreme. He's the top. He's the highest. He's the greatest. He's the greatest friend. He's the greatest forgiver. He's the wisest. He's the strongest. He's the most gifted. He's the most powerful. And Christ is in us. When I look backwards, I know that I'm in Christ. And if I'm in Christ, I am. When I look forward, some of us, the past seems so long ago, we've already forgotten it. Come on. When I look back, I know I'm in Christ, and so I am. And when I look forward, I know Christ is in me, so I am. And then it's like past and future, but what about now? Like this moment, now. What about now? How do we judge now what God wants for us? I'm gonna conclude with this story. Moments. Some of us, you know, I think we try to define what God thinks of us based on what we're feeling in the moment. And so if you were to chart it, it's like we would be all over the map. Thinking sometimes God loves us, sometimes he hates us. When you need to get grounded in the now, you need to just take a moment, look backwards and go, oh yeah, I've been qualified, redeemed, rescued, forgiven. Yeah, I'm grateful. And then when you look forward, hey, just take a moment. Christ is in you. How could you be anything but hopeful? But in that in between, this moment in between, I call it wonderful. This is where all the wonder happens. This is where all the good stuff happens. Why? Because he is my ever-present help in time of trouble. Sure he was. Sure he will be. But Jesus uses this word to describe himself. I am. He is in the present. That's where all the wonder takes place. When I lived in Los Angeles, this is one day I was about to grab a flight. And I got a terrible message on my phone. So a friend called me and they said, hey, I don't know if you checked your flight time, but it's actually in an hour. And I lived about, you know, it was a Monday morning. I lived about an hour from the airport on a Monday morning, and I hadn't packed yet and I hadn't called an Uber yet because I thought I still had a long time. Some of you, that's the way you're living. You're like, one day, I'll just figure out when I get there. Not to realize that this is your moment. This is the moment God has called you to. So, man, I started to cram my suitcase. Like, you know, I'm like, I'm filled with the will of God. I didn't know what time my flight was. I'm stuffing stuff in. I'm calling an Uber. Uber shows up. And he goes, hey, where are you going? I said, I'm going to LAX. We got to go. I'm like, I wanted to say I'm on the Amazing Race, right? I'm like, come on, this is for $1 million. Like, it almost feels like it because missing a flight and then having to pay for it, you know. And he's like, what time's your flight? I'm like, it's in like 59 minutes. And he looked at me in the rearview mirror as if to cuss at me with his eyes. Like, what is your problem? I'm like, I know, but can we try? And so we got on the road and we're driving. And I'm kind of like trying to call ahead. They're like, you can't do anything unless you're there physically. It's just, and I'm feeling that feeling like, honestly, it'll just be really truthful. I've been a Christian my whole life. I've been a pastor for like almost, I don't know, close to 20 years now, like 18, 19, 17 years. And in the mix of that, I'm starting to think like, God, like, what's up, man? Why'd you do this to me? Like, why didn't you help? This is frustrating. This is going to cost me money. This stressed me out. Kind of stressed my wife out as I just ran out of the room. Like, I gotta go. Like, why? Like, why is this happening to me? You ever feel that way? Little pity party. I was not thinking about how qualified, redeemed, rescued it. I wasn't thinking about a future hope. I was just like, my now sucks. But here's what happened. We're driving down the 405, and people are moving. I don't know why, but people are moving out of the way. It was like God parting the Red Sea. The 405, I'm telling you, like the Bible says, on earth as it is in heaven, when it's the 405, it's on earth as it is in hell. I've heard gnashing of teeth on the 405. You look over and someone's just gnashing their teeth at you. It's terrible. And the road is just opening. My Uber driver is like, bro, I don't know what's happening right now. I've never seen this. We got to the airport in 24 minutes on a Monday morning. It made no sense. It was a miracle. I was in the back. I'm like, oh. I am ahead and not the tail. Ha. God loves me. I know he's for me. He's not against me. Ha. I'm like, oh, man, I'm ready to preach on the 405. I'm like, oh, God is with me. I still got 35 minutes to get to my flight. I'm walking in like I expect trumpets to sound as I walk in the room, right? I'm like, I know God. I don't even question if he loves me. And then I saw how long the line was. I'm like, God, I'm just being really honest. Don't we do this sometimes? One thing goes well, we're like, oh, I'm glad to be saved. And they were like, man, I feel so lost. I'm like, God, you got me on the 405, but look at this line. I only have 5 minutes and they're going to cut me off at security. Someone walked up to me, Pastor Jesse, I'm not lying. They walked up to me and they said this, sir, would you like to go through the express line? Did you know there's an express line? They walked me from the back of the line. And all of a sudden, again, the organ started playing. I'm like, oh, I'm walking forward. I'm moving on up. I was making my way to the front. I walked through. There's an express line. The express line made me feel way less safe, but it was awesome. They didn't scan anything. I left my shoes on. I just walked through. I'm like, are you going to shoot me in the back? I'm like, no, you're good. I don't know. It's like God was on my side. I said, man, I'm really feeling it today. I'm feeling it today. God opened up the road. He got me through a line. I'm going to go ask for an upgrade. Why not? I walked up to the front. I'm like, hey, how you doing? They're like, we're busy. I'm like, oh, that's all right. That's all right. Guess what? I just got here real fast. Anyway, just wondering, is there an upgrade on this plane, this flight here? Because I'm in seat like middle of the back. Is there anything better? And then she looked at me as if to cuss at me with her eyes. And she's like, you shouldn't even be on this plane. You're late. What do you think you're doing? And just for a moment, like a little moment, I was like, oh, come on, God. That would have been such a great story. I would have preached about it. I negotiated with God. I'm like, I would have preached about that one. The 405 thing, we'll see, but I would have preached about that. So I'm back of the line, and I'm like pretty happy. I'm texting my wife. It was like, yeah, two miracles happened. The third one, yeah, not so much. And I get to the front of the line, the same lady. So I'm closing with this same lady. She comes, she goes, hey, actually, you know what? There is an upgrade. I said, really? She goes, yeah, there is an upgrade. It's in seat, row 17. Would you like it? I said, is it better than the back of the back of the middle of the middle? She goes, oh, yeah. And so I walked in. I'm like, this is like the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Sure, I mean, you know, wedding and kids and stuff, but this is awesome. This is pretty good. And I come in, row 17, seat H. Oh, you got in. You know, it was a section between like the nice, like the business class, and then where all of us sit like cattle. It was the section in the middle. Only two seats in this section. Only two seats in this section. The seats fully reclined. In the section, it was the section that the flight attendants take a nap in if they need to take a nap. And I walked in, I was like, oh, I am so loved. I am so highly favored, because I always tend to measure what God thinks of me based on what I feel in the moment. Does anyone else do that? It's not the right way to live, but I struggle sometimes. I got onto that seat and I was like, oh, man, the whole way back. And then they came by like, would you like anything? I'd like everything. This is wonderful. I turn, there's this girl beside me. I'm like, how are you doing? And she looks at me. She goes, I am having the worst day of my life. I was like, man, why do I have to sit by Debbie Downer? I just want to enjoy my reclining seat. She starts bursting into tears. She goes, I'm just having the worst day. I found out a couple hours ago my husband's been cheating on me. My marriage is broken up, and I got a 2-year-old and a 6-month-old, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm on my mom's way home to kind of figure things out, and I booked this flight like seriously an hour ago, and I picked this seat like an hour ago on the phone, and now I'm here, and it cost me a lot, and I'm here. She's just, and for 2 hours straight, she just tells me her whole life story. And I be honest, I'm not as holy as I ought to be. I was like, oh, man, would have been nice to just throw in some headphones in this moment. But she's telling me just bitterness coming out, her whole story. Oh, this is painful. And I'm feeling with her, and I'm like, man, this is terrible. Isn't it crazy that you can be living in the same moment as someone else? You're feeling one thing, they're feeling something else. She's like, this is the worst day I've ever had in my life. 2 hours in, she goes, so what do you do? I'm like, well, I'm glad I didn't just roll over and put my headphones in. I'm like, oh, I'm actually, I'm a pastor. She goes, really? What church do you pastor? I said, oh, I've only been there a little while, just a couple months. I don't even know if you'd hear of it. It's called Oasis. She loses her mind. She starts crying ugly tears. Like, she goes, you're the guy. Like, you're from Canada, right? I was like, yeah. She goes, you have like 6 kids? I was like, yeah. And you just moved, like, right? And you're helping out at Oasis? Yeah. She goes, I started listening to their podcast this week. I knew I recognized your voice. How crazy is that? I'm like, that is crazy. That is pretty crazy. She goes, this is God's sign for me. On my way to the airport, I was praying, God, give me a sign that you're still with me. Give me a sign that you still love me. Give me a sign that there's hope for me. Give me a sign that this is not the end. Give me a sign that I have a future. She goes, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? Can you pray for me? I'm like, yeah, I'll pray. She goes, hey, I'm just going to put my cell phone. I need to record this prayer. She's crying. I'm crying. The phone's out. We're like calling heaven down in row 17. I'm laying hands on her. Just crying. The stewardess comes by. Would you like anything? I'm like, are you serious? Cranberry juice, please. We're praying. In that moment, row 17, 30,000 feet above the air, Crystal gave her heart back to Jesus. She came back to the Lord. She is now serving in the house of God. She's planted in the house of God. Her kids are growing up in the house of God. She has a future. She has a hope. She has a destiny. Oh, I'm telling you, in that moment, on that plane, row 17, I'm like, God, I've had a pretty big day. The pendulum of my day has swung back and forth. And God spoke to me. He said, Justin, all day long, you've been trying to figure out what I feel about you. He's like, son, of course I love you. Look at your path. Look how grateful you, how qualified you. Like, I redeemed you. You're forget. Of course I love you. But I love Crystal. And sometimes the things happening to you aren't even about you. And I promise you, I sat on that plane, and now I started doing the ugly cry. Because I remembered moments when I prayed, God, just show me and I'll do it. Show me what I'll do it. And he's like, remember moments like that? I'm just not into telling you all those details. You'll find out when you find out. You got to live in the moment. I'm here with you in the moment. He didn't tell me, you'll move to Los Angeles, go down the 405, it'll open up, you'll be upgraded. It was none of that. But in that moment, I understood this is what God's will looks like. I'm telling you, I am so satisfied that God has me where he wants me to be. I'm so satisfied that in my own biography, I'm not even the main character. Jesus is. I am a supporting role in my life story. When I look back, I'm grateful. When I look forward, I'm hopeful. Right now, in the wonder of it all, Jesus, would you fill us? Come on, wherever you are, would you throw your...
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.